Good evening again. This is Pastor Rice, and we are continuing our Bible study, Sunday night Bible study in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. I last week began this, and we covered the first three verses anyway, and so I wanted to go ahead and get this week's done in a timely manner, so it'll be available to you, hopefully pre-recorded. And so as we gather around the Word, again, we are still in the middle of a COVID-19 shelter-in-place order, and not to gather to worship or to do our Bible studies, and so I'm using this again to get a hold of, I hope, to get some Word of God into your homes. I trust, again, you've been taking advantages. Those of you who have an internet, a usable internet connection, have been taking advantages of the streamlining from Solid Rock. Also, those on Facebook, Dave Johnson has been putting the adult Bible study on Facebook, and so we've got two lessons, I think, available on that. And they will also be available on our webpage if you just go to gsbaptistchurch.com/audio. gsbaptistchurch.com/audio. All these messages will be there. And everything that we've done, again, to try and stay in contact with you during these times, challenging times of quarantine. So, I encourage you again to keep praying. If you tune in again here or get this recording, we'll see if we can't maybe get it put on a CD. I don't have a computer that copies CDs right now. We'll see if we can't go ahead and get them distributed and available to you that don't have an internet connection or ability to tap into these. Lord bless you again. Let's open our Bible again to the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've already covered the first three verses. Let me cover with you here the next couple verses. I just love them as a introduction of who's speaking. So let's pick it up in verse 4, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Father, as we'd consider again the challenge before us to stay in contact, to stay in your word, to stay united as a church, I pray your blessing on our efforts to do that. And as we'd open the scriptures here and teach a little bit from the revelation of your precious Son, I pray again, Father, that you'd bless each one that'd be with us, bless each one that would listen to this message and have their Bible open. And you promised that you would, even in the lesson we looked at last week. And so I pray, Father, again now that you'd bless your word, touch again each individual, and hear our prayer as we lift up one another. May you edify. We think of all the changes that's in our time, and pray, Father, again that you would edify your church, that you'd grow Good Samaritan Baptist Church, as we, again, each of us have a new appreciation for the ability to gather together and worship you. I pray again, Father, that you'd even use these times to give us some victories in our lives, to give us some insight to what we're doing down here. And I'll praise you and thank you for blessing this study in the revelation of your Son. We love you. Thank you that we could meet around this old book, even if it is on an old cassette player. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen, amen. I was listening to Shane tell some of the stories of how he was trying to record messages and got an hour of recording done and figured out that the audio didn't come through on his computer and had to do it all over again. And how much time it takes to do with some of these productions. It is downright scary how much is we've been behind the curve here as far as getting our information out to people through the digital world around us. And so we at Good Samaritan Baptist Church haven't done hardly anything along that regards. And I appreciate, again, some other churches that have greater resources to do just that. I'm out here preaching over, again, Juanita Lake. And what a beautiful, beautiful scene that we have before us. The birds are chirping in the background. And I just love, again, looking at the Word of God here. And let's go ahead and finish off this lesson anyway. Looking at the first sentence that I just read. So we're in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'd already covered the fact that it is indeed a revelation of Jesus Christ, not a revelation of St. John the Divine. It is indeed a revelation that is intended to teach us of things that must shortly come to pass. It's not apocalyptic. It is, again, a revelation. And so, again, when we look at the book and its introduction, as we did last week, notice again that there's a promise involved. We looked a little bit at the Apostle John and him being an eyewitness, and then we looked at this promise that said, blessed is the man, or blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And so when we go on now, we're going to go ahead and look at this very thing that's given that blessing to us. And I love the first sentence. I just read the first sentence. Let's diagram sentences. Let's look at that a little bit in more depth. It says, John, okay, that's the author. That's actually the one who penned this. We'll find a little later in this chapter that he's doing exactly what Christ commanded him to do. Christ said to him, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And here is, John took up his pen and is now writing. And so it says, write. That's what John's doing. And so he begins with verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Every one of these little phrases in this first sentence is going to draw our attention right now. I handed out a worksheet and got it to you, I hope, so that you could fill in some things about who these seven churches are. As we go on in our study, I want us to realize that they were actual churches that existed. And John, again, actually got these letters delivered, I think, personally by hand, I know, to the church of Smyrna. There was a record of him coming and, again, delivering these written books to them. And so, notice again here, there's seven churches. And as we read through the seven churches, there's many things we're going to learn about them. And let me just give you three things about them. First off, they are actual churches that did exist. They are local churches. And they existed there in Asia Minor. And they're mentioned here in the Bible because they did physically exist as a local church. Notice also that there's no governing body over top of them. There's no Holy Roman Catholic Church that takes control of these seven churches. They are independent, fundamental, autonomous churches, local churches, and there's nobody except the Lord Jesus Christ that tells them what to do or how to do it. Even the Apostle John, even as he writes, and the other apostles, as they deal with local churches, they are not dictators that demand that a church do something or the other. They are, again, the apostles, and they have a foundation that is to be built upon. And so I like to emphasize that these churches are local churches, secondly, and real churches that existed. Secondly, I want us to notice that these churches, as we read through the seven messages, they will portray a history of what we can look back and say, wow, look at the church history, and these seven messages fit into seven specific time periods of the church. And I have charts of those that most of you have seen that we used during the Hunt for the Last October Prophecy Conference that shows again that now all the messages are applicable to all the churches in all times, but again, there seems to be a perfect fit in history as you follow these seven churches and the messages to the seven churches, and the one who's authoring the messages to the seven churches, they fit as we walk through the past 2,000 years of church history. They fit right in what's been going on into the world, even to the point where the Church of Philadelphia receives a message about an open door, and it's again fits right into what went on in a literal Philadelphia in America. And again, that's not a strange thing. That's called the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. But again, notice how it fits into our freedom and the open door that was given. And so we'll look at each of those as we get to them, but what a tremendous fit for the seven churches to fit into a flow of history for the past 2,000 years, right up to where now you often hear it said that we are in the Laodicean church age. And so the third thing about these churches is, even though they fit into the time period of church history that we can look back on, they also existed during that time, and there was a church that was Ephesus, and it had left its first love. There was a church that, again, was Laodicea, and it had grown cold and grown separate and distant from God. And so the beginning and the end there, we see again the titles that are given to each of these churches. The Church of Sardis, thou hast a name and livest, but thou art dead. So these are actual churches that existed and were in this state that is described in this letter. What a marvelous, marvelous seven messages that applied to seven churches in the same period of time, all of them going through all these different trials and challenges, and so we can see that unfold in history and in Asia Minor, where these seven actual churches existed. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. It says. Then it says, grace be unto you and peace from him, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Now, normally we'd look at that phrase and said, him which is and which was. We'd understand that that is God himself. God says, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. And here, we have an addition and a title attached that it fits right into our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a tremendous trinity of the Godhead taught in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and certainly the deity of Christ, that he was divine, that he was God in the flesh, the manifestation of God, unfolds even here in this opening sentence of the book. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And so notice again here we have that title beginning, but look what it's attributing unto us. Grace be unto you and peace. Let me just say a couple things about those. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, but grace is what when you get what you don't deserve. And so grace is God's unmerited favor. You've heard it said as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. And so grace, again, is given here from John, again, to us. And notice where the author is. It comes from God. Grace be unto you. And again, you can assign people your grace, but my goodness, it's far better to assign them God's grace. And so that's exactly what we have here. The grace of God. Grace be unto you. And then peace. Boy, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, you have peace with God. But peace with God is a good thing to have. That's a good starting place. But let me go ahead and tell you that, hey, it's better to have, well, not better. Let me put it a different way. It's just grand, especially in these days that we are living in, to have the peace of God. The peace of God. I've been collecting things around in order to get ready to do a funeral, and who knows when that will be, but I'll be ready anyway. I got lots of time, I guess, with our scheduling conflicts and our the refusal that we could have funerals because we'd gather people together, my goodness. Anyway, so I've been putting together some thoughts about that, and again, my brother-in-law who died did that with such peace, with such grace, with a knowledge again that he knew where he was going. What a blessing to talk with him, to read verses, to be encouraged by him, and to try and encourage him in those hard times. But again, to know again where you're going, that gives great peace. To know again, even in the troubles of this world, that we've been given great promises from God. And that gives great peace. And we don't need to fear for our lives. I just read again a couple of the accounts of, remember the account of Samson's parents. We're reading through the book of Judges now in our family altar. And so Samson's parents, if you remember, the angel came and talked to them and told them exactly how to raise Samson and all. And then they said this, they said, after the angel left, they said, oh, the husband, I forgot his name right now, he said, oh, we're going to die because we've seen God. And you could tell he didn't really believe the promise, because the promise was, no, they're not going to die, they're going to raise a son. And so we see that often in the Word of God, that we need the peace of God. We need to learn to fear not. And here again, it's given to us. In this particular case, in the introduction to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the things that will shortly come to pass, boy, it's good to have peace. In fact, that's why the book is given, so that we can have peace. So we know the final chapter. So we know how all this is going to come out. God has given us the insight to know that in the end, there's going to be a great battle. And again, the kingdom of Satan will be overthrown. The kingdom of Christ will rule and reign here upon this earth. And he will take over, again, the kingdom and establish his kingdom. When you pray what's often called the Lord's Prayer, notice what it says, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's what we're here for. It's in the kingdom of God. And trust me, the kingdom of God is coming here to this earth. And that's the promise that's in this very book that we have opened before us. And listen, that's intended to give us peace. Grace be unto you, and peace. And then it says, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Let me just stop right there and go back to the I am of Exodus chapter 3, where Moses said, who should I say has sent me? They don't know you, and who should I say sent me? I don't have any proof. And God said to him, tell them, I am hath sent you. And that little phrase in the Hebrew, I am, rhymes with the name Jehovah God. It uses the same letters, a little different pronunciation, but it uses the same pronunciation as I am, uses the same pronunciation as what we call in English, Jehovah. And again, those are the letters taken out of the Hebrew, and we added some vowels to them so that we could have a pronunciation of that, Jehovah. And so that is the name of God. You find it in your Bible with all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. If you don't find it that way, you find it with a capital L-O-R-D, and that is, again, Adonai, or Lord. Here, it literally means, as it says to Moses, I am that I am. I am hath sent you. And so notice here that this is a past tense, I am. This is a present tense, and this is a future tense. And here again, in this context, we have that name given per se. Also, you've heard reference to being the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And God is that in this very introduction. From him which is, which was, that's present tense, past tense, and which is to come, that's future tense. And so notice again here that we have a beginning introduction of God himself. And then it says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. How am I doing for time here? Oh my. And so notice again here on this phrase that we have the seven spirits which are before his throne. And we don't know what they are. But wait, we have an Old Testament. And so, again, it's given one of the assignments, I think, on the worksheet, that you go back and look at Isaiah chapter 11 and write out what those seven spirits are. And a very curious connection to the Old Testament. In fact, what you're going to find as we go through the revelation of Jesus Christ, that almost every phrase, almost every syllable, ties back to what has already been revealed to us. This is, again, like an epilogue of the whole Bible. And rules for an epilogue is it must contain everything that was in the body of the text. And so here we have the epilogue of the Bible, and it talks, again, in Isaiah chapter 11, about these seven spirits. As we consider that, again, notice the capital S. I said that this is a good teaching of the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all united together in one. And here the opening sentence contains them. And so you need to study just a little bit about those seven spirits. And I'll leave that as an exercise of the student to go ahead and do that. And then it says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then it's got a dot. I'm only doing the sentences here. And so we're looking at this first sentence. And so it continues on here in verse 5. Although there's a verse break there, there's not a sentence break. And there's not a break in the thoughts there. And so watch this now. It's going on. We have him which was and which, or which is and which was and which is to come. And from the seven spirits, verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ. There's the Trinity. There's all three of them together described as the ones who are going to bring us this grace and peace in our lives. And from Jesus Christ, who is, and now it stops, and it gives a description of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a precious description it is. Notice again the titles assigned to him, the attributes, as it were, that are assigned to him. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, who is the first begotten of the dead, who is the prince of the kings of the earth, period. Wow. And so there, notice the three titles. The faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings of the earth. And so we're going to take those three titles and understand that there's a big deal about the titles that are given in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here we see the introductory three given to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness. That'll show up again in the messages to the churches. That'll show up again in the messages to the world. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Remember, a guy named Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And he could have answered, he did not, but he could have answered, I am truth. Today we have lots of different people with their own designer truth. And I want to encourage you, when you're talking to someone else about what you believe, that you never mind what you believe. I talked to a lady when we were down in Capital Connection, and I gave her that hint because, I mean, she was a soul winner. She was approaching people and giving them gospel verses and telling them about her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she particularly asked, again, because I had a tie on that said, in the beginning, God. And she caught that really and opened a conversation with us. It doesn't matter what you believe. And she repeated over and over again, well, I believe. And I encouraged her again to get rid of that phrase and use this phrase instead. Well, the Bible says, you need to know what the Bible says, and that needs to be your witness. Everyone has a I believe line, and most of them are predicated on something they heard from somebody else. And so, notice again that be careful of that line in your witness. Be careful again that this isn't just a matter that's truth because you believe it. It is truth because the truth is the faithful witness. And he is the one who establishes what truth is. So be careful of that when you give, well, I believe, because then you're in a battle with what you believe against what someone else believes. That's not a good place to be in. Where you want to be in a battle is what the Bible says compared to what someone else believes. And so notice here, he is the faithful witness. He is the truth. John made a big deal in his previous epistle there that we looked at to say, I am a faithful witness. I was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you the truth. And here we have the faithful witness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Secondly, and the first begotten of the dead. Jesus had a resurrection, and remember Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And so again, to understand that he is the first begotten of the dead. Nobody came back from the dead like Jesus did. Now, Lazarus was raised from the dead. The widow's son was raised from the dead. But Lazarus, they all gathered and had another funeral and buried him again. And so his was a raising from the dead. This is a resurrection from the dead. And so he is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead. He was resurrected victorious over death to never die again, but to be established in everlasting life. And so here he is addressed to us as the Jesus Christ, who is the first begotten of the dead. And so again, we see another attribute of him here. He is the truth. He walked here on this earth as a manifestation of God. He is the first begotten of the dead. His resurrection gave victory over death. And again, he's not raised to die again. He's not put back together to die. He's not like the woman's son that Elijah raised from the dead. Here again, they all died again. But Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. Big difference. And from Jesus Christ it says, the prince of the kings of the earth. That word prince, again, sometimes causes confusion. But it simply means this, that he is the greatest of. Some people think that a prince is the next in line for the throne. But that's not the meaning of the word per se. The word itself means he's the greatest of them. So the prince here of the kings, he's the greatest of kings. And certainly, again, in a family of royalty, there's going to be someone who is the greatest of the kin who's going to ascend to the throne next, and he is called a prince. But here, notice again in the meaning of the word, that not that he's waiting for someone else to step out of the throne so that he could step into the throne. No. He is the greatest of kings. He is already the King of Kings. He is already the Lord of Lords. When he comes back, he'll receive that title per se. But again, notice here that he is the prince, the greatest of all. He is the one and only of the kings of the earth. He's greater than all the kings of this old earth. And so as we consider again this first sentence of this precious old book, I've gone a little over time here. Not that that cares to anybody. I mean, most of us are locked in our house anyway, and so a little bit of overtime don't hurt us at all. But let's go ahead and marvel in this book. Now listen, the detail I've tried to look at each of these verses, this book warrants extreme examination. It warrants looking at every word, every detail. If we do that, we'd be the next couple years going through the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I do want to, again, teach you how to read your Bible with, again, the exactness that's given in these. Lots of times I've just read over all these titles and said, yada, yada, yada. But no, there's detail, there's emphasis, there's a revelation in every word, let's go as far as Jesus did. In every jot and tittle, there is revelation in this here book. And we want to pay attention to that kind of detail. So let's see, we'll go ahead and you work on that worksheet that I tried to get to you. I did send it out only to one per family, so don't fight over it. If you need another one, give me a yell and I'll go ahead and mail you another one. But go ahead and work on that worksheet. It is available online also. In fact, I put it up as a written word right after this message in the MP3. So go ahead and use that. And I'll try and add again the next series to it as we move along in that direction. We're going to move kind of slow through this introductory work because I want to again emphasize the great detail of the revelation of Jesus Christ that's found here. Father, praise you. Thank you for your bounty and blessing. Thank you again that we could meet around your word if we can't meet together. Thank you again, Father, for this old book. I pray that you tug on hearts. I pray during this time of quietness, of separation, that you'd make us students of this book. I pray that you'd hear our prayers for our little church. I pray that you'd hear prayers for each individual. We know some are not connected through internet or any other means. And so I pray again, Father, that you'd help us keep those phone lines going, to keep those stamps on envelopes. And Father, that we could stay in touch and that we could lift up your name. I thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ. May we just grow in it. We'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen.